everybody, and welcome to Heartbeat. Today the topic is I think an exciting one, and one that we all come across, all come up in these type of things in our lives. And I want to talk on, I can't, but he can. That can mean so many things to so many people, but sometimes we come to the point in our lives, in a season of our life, where we go, it's just too hard. I can't do this anymore. I can't face the situation. I can't be the person I'm supposed to be. I can't be, you know, I'm not content, but I can't keep helping people. I can't. And, you know, that's okay that we actually feel like that. But sometimes we need to face that fact, bring it to God, and say, Lord, I can't, but you can. If it's your will, Lord, you can help me. You can, you know, equip me. You can make a way, open a door, change the circumstances, give me strength and courage, give me ability way above my own human ability, because he can. You know, we often see ways or means where we got to go, but I don't feel like being a conqueror today. I don't feel like having to fight the battle again. Do you know, to take a deep breath and move forward. I don't feel like it. And I'm one like that. I don't feel like it. And feelings and emotions and, you know, even just the energy that we might need to put the next step forward, sometimes on some days is hard. But, you know, he overcomes the obstacles. He wants us, we've talked about it before, to partner with him so that he can come into our life, because we've invited him in, and he can overcome. You know, he can pave the path. He can help us rise up and fix our gaze once more on him. But we've got to cry out for help. We need to ask. We need to say, I can't, Lord, but you can. You can. You know, he's the one that leaps over the mountain, over the wall. Otherwise, what do? We slump back on the couch saying, I can't, it's hopeless. I just can't. I can't do this anymore. And it's okay to own up to that. But then we need to say, Lord, I can't, so you need to. If you want this done, you need to help me. You need to help me focus, to give me strength and courage way above my ability. You know, at times when I've felt like this, God speaks to me through song, through other words, through, you know, a big billboard as I'm driving by along the road, going off to work, going to do a chore, going shopping. And there's this song, and it just spoke to me so much. And that's when I often go look up the lyrics, and I go and pray about it, and I go and seek out what's God saying to me right now. And the song's called Already Done. It's actually very popular on the radio right now, in Christian radio. And the lyrics go like this. You got your hopes up, but won't let your guard down. I know you trust him, and I know it's hard to walk it out. Because we can say often, I trust you, Lord, but to actually take that next step in trusting him, it's hard. It is not easy. But I've learnt to then ask the Lord for the courage to take that step. Because I tell him, I can't do it. I can't do it, Lord. But when he leads you, he'll always see it through. And this is the lines that spoke to me. So you can run right at your mountain like it's already moved. You can chase down your Goliath like you know he's going to lose. Maybe your waters haven't parted yet. Do you hear the word yet? But the time is going to come, because when our Father makes a promise, it's already done. And what's the promise? The promise is that God said he is with us. The promise is in his name alone. Emmanuel, God is with us. The promise is written down in scripture. He says, I will never leave you. I will not leave you orphaned. What's orphaned? Alone in the world, all by yourself. Nobody, no family, no one cares about me. But God does. He will not leave us orphaned. And he will chase down the Goliath. And so we need to live our lives knowing Goliath's already overcome. The mountain's already won. You know, us climbing a mountain, it's the mountain's gone. Not in my strength, but in God's strength. Because God, if he's called us, he will equip us. Now, I know I've spoken on taking up the armor of God, equipping ourselves, but they all come from God. We, yes, have to read the scripture. We, yes, have to ask God to help our mindset. But that is all in surrender. It's God who equips us. It's God who does it. Think of David and Goliath. He tried to put on the human armor, but he was too cumbersome. It didn't fit him. It didn't work. So what did he do? He relied on how God had equipped him over the years. And how had God done that? He had been a shepherd boy and he had learnt to protect and guard the sheep from wolves. So he did the same thing with Goliath. He took on what he had learnt, what God had equipped him over the years. One, to trust and believe that the victory had already been won, that God was with him, and that he could do this with just a rock and a slingshot. And he did. But it's not just David who was equipped by God. Moses was equipped by God because he was brought up in Pharaoh's household for when he was a young babe. Remember, his mother put him in the basket on the river to protect him, to save him from being slaughtered. And Pharaoh's, I think it was daughter or sister, picked him up from the water and brought him into the household, and he grew up there. So what did Moses get equipped with by living in that circumstance? He was equipped with how politically he needed to approach Pharaoh in trying to get the people of Israel out of Egypt, out of that captivity. Because he learnt how to speak, how to hold himself. Think about it. If I wanted to go and make an appointment to see the Prime Minister of Australia, oh my goodness, how could I do that? I could write him a letter and then probably write back, thank you very much, but he's very busy. Why don't you send your letter to the office of such and such if it's to do with, say, environment or whatever, and we'll get back to you. But Moses knew how he could get in to see Pharaoh, to talk to Pharaoh about letting the Israelites free. God had equipped Moses to do that. God had also then equipped Moses because he was 40 years caring for sheep. He was the shepherd. He was caring for sheep. He had to make sure that they were safe. They were protected. If you've ever been around sheep, they're very obstinate creatures. They follow one of the sheep that might be the leader, but you've got to find the leader. Then they also, if someone else decides to take the lead while this leader is jumping, because they sort of jump and they follow them, then that half the pack goes one way and half the pack goes the other way, and they're very obstinate creatures. But Moses was getting prepared because the people of Israel were very obstinate. They were so difficult to change and move. They had been, you know, in captivity for so long that they thought it was great. Remember when hardship came, they thought it was terrible that they were doing this hardship, and they thought, oh, captivity was way better because at least we had full tummies. What? They were captive slaves, but they still thought it was better. And so Moses had been equipped for years how to deal with these sheep. You know, God prepares us, equips us all the time. Gideon. If you know, don't know the story of Gideon, in the book of Judges, there is this man. And this man, Gideon, he was a clansman of the tribe of Manasseh. And they were at the time being slayed by the Midianites, who were a horde of desert raiders. And the angel of the Lord was sent to Gideon. And where was Gideon when the angel was sent to him? Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press late at night, hiding from the Midianites. So he was trying to feed the clansmen and the people that he was with in the dead of night, so that he could not get captured or not get, injured or slaughtered or whatever that could happen. And the angel came to him. And what did the angel say? The angel was trying to tell him something. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. The angel, messenger from God, was saying, God was saying to Gideon, I am with you and you are a mighty warrior. You can stand tall. You don't need to be hiding in this wine press threshing wheat, because I've chosen you to lead an army against the Midianites. And Gideon does. Gideon is chosen. Even though Gideon goes, how can you pick me? God started equipping him more and more and more. But in the equipping, it was so interesting that in Judges chapter 6, chapter 7, the army that Gideon has with him is 32,000 people. And God says, no, that's too many. So he whittles them down and there's 10,000. So in chapter 7, verse 2, the Lord said to Gideon, the troops with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, into your hand. God's saying to Gideon, the 10,000 troops that you have, the number that you have, it's too big for me. What? God's saying to Gideon, the number is too big for God? What do you mean? What's going on? He explains. Israel would only then take the credit away from me, saying, my own hand has delivered me. Therefore, I proclaim that, and then he starts, does another thing and reduces the numbers down to 300. So the large number for God was too much, because God would said then human people would say, the army, the Gideonites, the people following Gideon would say, we did it. How wonderful are we? But if you whittle it down to only 300, you have to know that it's God who's done it. So sometimes when you think, oh my goodness, my life circumstances are getting worse. What is God doing? It's not getting better. No, if God is with you and he has equipped you and he has called you, he is doing something so that he can say, you can say, it was God who did it. Such a miracle. I think there'd be more miracles proclaimed in this world if we actually saw what God did and didn't think it was in our own circumstances. It wasn't our phone call that did it. It wasn't us. It was God. God within us, God equipping us, God giving us the open doors and the circumstances of change, God softening people's hearts. Think of Moses. Moses went to Pharaoh and 10 times asked him, would you let the Israelites go? And it wasn't till right near the end when God softened Pharaoh's heart for that time when he said yes and they could get out and escape. Because then his heart, remember, his heart hardened. Again, he goes, oh my goodness, we're going to lose all the slaves. We have to go grab them. And as they're crossing the Red Sea, the army's coming behind them because he wants them. The Pharaoh wants all the people back, all the slaves back. It's God who softens people's hearts. It's God who changes circumstances. It's always him. If he has called us, he will equip us. And he with us, because he always partners with us, will overcome. You know, he'll go from just our heads to our hearts. And he'll fill us with his love, fill us with his courage, fill us with his vision. And he can, even when we can't. So don't stay slumped on the couch. Surrender to God, pray about it, and wait upon the Lord to equip you, to clothe you with his Spirit, and wait for him to say, go, now's the time. Now's the time to move. Now's the time to be rescued. Because rescue only comes from those who love God and are surrendered to God. Because God can't come and help us if we don't ask him. Because he promises he'll look after us and rescue us and be with us. But he gives us that free choice to invite him in or to not. So I encourage you, don't stay slumped on the couch. Surrender to him, invite him in, and let us see what victory he can do in your life, what he has for you in your life. And let's praise God and tell people about what occurs so that more miracles can be announced, can be shown and seen to people. Because sometimes that's what helps them feel like they then can surrender and give to God. And say, I can't, Lord, but you can. Thanks for listening.